Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to look at Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8. Praise God. Leviticus, you guys are like, where's that at? It's in your Bible. It's you're like, we don't go here very often. Just start at the front of your Bible. Amen. Praise God. If you got your app or your phone or whatever, it's a little easier to use that. Praise God. I'm excited about this word this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Leviticus 6, verse 8, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it." Drop down to verse 13. Leviticus 6, 13. Hallelujah. "A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out." Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the strength of your word. And Father, I pray that, Lord, even this morning, I pray, Lord, give us a heart to receive everything that your word has for us. Give us great vision that, Lord, in 2025, we shall see the vision come to pass, Father. And Lord, even so, Lord, give us ears to hear everything that your word has for us. Father, that, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Lord, we thank you that that's how faith is built in each and every one of us. And Father, today I pray for the anointing around this word. May the fire never go out. So Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Get my water there, please. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to say this because I was very happy Palm Sunday. Happy Palm Sunday, you know. You know, Jesus come riding on he wasn't riding on a black stallion. He wasn't riding on a white horse, but he come riding in on a donkey. Amen. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And next week we'll celebrate Easter. The one thing I'm going to encourage you in, bring somebody with you. If you know somebody that needs a miracle, you know somebody that needs a healing, you know somebody that needs salvation, what better day than to get it on Resurrection Sunday? Amen. So those are things we don't just put off on a Sunday morning. We're believing God. We always believe God to show up in our services. So I want to encourage you guys to bring somebody with you next week. You know, just bring someone. Amen. So I'm working to bring a few people myself. Amen. I'm working weekly to bring a few people. They're coming. Amen. That's what I keep saying every week. They're coming. You know, I'm always, you know, I know that they're coming. Amen. You know, as we look at this passage, you know, I was very well prepared to move into Palm Sunday and begin to talk about Palm Sunday and Jesus' entry and all that. And as I was driving yesterday, see, I already feel it. Ooh. As I was driving yesterday, I began to just ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you're saying to the church? What is it that I need to hear as the pastor of Kings in West Virginia? What's a fresh word? I mean, as pastors and anybody that ministers, you guys know that, man, you there's nothing better than a fresh word, right? Being released to the people of God. And as I was driving, I heard this in my spirit or in my audibly. I don't always know, but I heard, "Don't let the fire burn out. Don't let the fire burn out." And I was like, "Is that an Easter message? What is that, Lord?" And I felt it. You know, sometimes you feel things. You feel things by God, and I begin to feel, "Don't let the fire burn out." And I was like, "Okay, Lord." I took that word and I thought about burnout. It's an interesting word. Because, you know, in our culture, You know, when we hear the word burnout, right, we associate overworked, overwhelmed, stressed. Life is hard. I've got too much going on. I'm just, what do people say? I am, help me out. Help me. Come on, guys. This is Sunday. Woohoo. You're supposed to have some energy on a Sunday morning. You're in the right house, right? Come on. We got to have some. So what do people say? Well, I'm burnt out, or I'm burned out. And what do they say? Well, they follow up with that. Well, I need a break. I need a break from things. And I thought about that word for a moment, and I was like, I could remember Pastor Josh had preached a message when we were in Maui in January. And the message was a house on fire. There are two messages that I listened to yesterday, but there are two messages that I honestly keep in front of me. There are two messages that I keep in front of me. One is Pastor Josh's message, a house on fire, because that's what I'm believing, that in Kings, West Virginia, Kings worldwide, that it's a house on fire. Amen. Anybody with me this morning? Come on. How about some protection? There we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But a house on fire, and of course, it's doctor's message. Increase, seek to double. So those are two messages that I keep in front of me, because what it does is it stirs something in me. But I remember Pastor Josh in that message, you know, he had shared towards the end, and he said, doctor, he said, I got all these books about burnout. And he called doctor, you know, he calls doctor, and he said, you know, call Dr. Morocco. I said, you know, I'm reading all these Christian offers, you know, and they're talking about burnout. And doctor says, what's that? What is burnout? He said, well, you know, people that, you know, they go on sabbaticals, they get overwhelmed, they get overworked, they need a vacation. He said, I've never heard of such a thing. Dr. Morocco, 75 years old. He left beautiful Maui, amen, to go to Dallas. Woo! To go to Dallas. What is it, 8 million people? I don't even know. I mean, it's a big area, but left beautiful Maui to go to Dallas at the age of 75. And, you know, and I thought, man, our role model, our pastor, he's not burnt out. You know, when he could have been taking a break and saying, you know, I'm going to continue just to sow into pastors and raise things up. What was he doing? He found himself in a vision. He found himself in a place, you know, I'm not going to be in this place of being burnt out. Burnt out. I thought about this word yesterday, and I thought about the word burnout, and I was like, yeah, I know what a burnout is. Now, when I was younger, I had a Monte Carlo, 1978 Monte Carlo. I'm a little older than some of you, praise God. And at the age of 16, 17, I bought it from my uncle. It had a 305, and I could drop it down into low one, and that car would do circles in just about any parking lot. And guess what I could do? I could do a burnout. But, you know, and the thing about those kinds of burnouts on dry ground, you got to hold on, because you don't always know whether you're going to shoot right or left. I mean, you know, I'm telling on myself here a little bit, but I thought about that, and I thought, you know, there's the burnout that I'm burnt out, and I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm overwhelmed, and then there's that burnout that has a lot to do with acceleration, because you can't do a burnout in a car. You can't spin circles in a car if you don't have your foot on the accelerator. Is anybody, do I have any guys in here that understand what I'm talking to? None of you guys ever did this? D, thank you for raising your hand, being honest. So I've got a few people here that understand that, you know, that cars will go in circles. Now, I will say the one thing about an all-wheel drive car, they don't do it as well. But I actually did an all-wheel drive Mercedes on the Honda Road, did a 180, flying out to pray with somebody one night, and I don't even know how. I was going one way, and then I found myself going the other as I come across the turn into a bridge, and the road was slick. So all-wheel drives, they'll go halfway around. I've never been able to get one all the way around. I'd say Brother Brian could teach us how to do that. Amen. He's trained in driving, praise God. But as I felt this rise up in my spirit yesterday for the church and for the people of God, I deeply felt this. And I'm not looking around at people, and I don't, you know, to be honest with you, I don't see you as burnout. I don't look at the body of Christ and say, you're overwhelmed, you're overworked, life is tough. I don't look at you that way. You may say, well, Pastor, you don't even know what's going on in my life. You're right. I don't know what's going on in everybody's life. But I certainly don't look at the body of Christ as retracting, as burnout, stress. We can't go any further. We can't do this. We can't do that. I don't see God in any picture of that. That where God's, you know. Now I'm going to tell you, take a vacation. You need to take a vacation, and make it a vacation. Lay things aside. Go take a vacation and enjoy yourself. Do that for your family. If you go on vacation, the only thing you're trying to do is work, you're robbing your family of a blessing. I know. So you do that. You go on vacation. You spend time with your family. You make that stuff count. But if your mind says, oh, I'm going on vacation to work, it's not a vacation then. But there's things that you need to do in your life. There's things that you need to bring those things into your life and into your family. You know, and it's not... That's just wisdom. It's not like so you won't be burnt out. That's just wisdom. That's wisdom from heaven. That's wisdom from heaven. Wisdom from heaven. You know, I think doctor, you know, I think why doctor said, you know, I don't know, what is that? What is burnout? I thought about this last night and into this morning, you know, I think the reason why he, you know, it's not something that he thinks about or he considers is because his life. And can I tell you this morning, that your life can be wrapped up so much in Jesus. It's not you don't even set around you that when things come, it's not like things that you used to worry about, things that you used to deal with. You don't. It's like you're not even messing around to pick it back up again. Because I'll tell you what happens is when we look back a lot of times and we think, well, you know, I'm burnt out, I'm stressed. You know, I could remember one time maybe saying to my father, Dad, I'm bored. My dad said, come on, son, you're no longer going to be bored. I've got 4 yards that need mowed. I got this pile of gravel that needs moved. Bored is a mindset. And we've created a generation of people that I'm just bored. If your kid ever says that to you, send them to me. I'll find something for them to do. Come on, we'll go cut wood. We'll go do this. We'll go, praise God, brother Donnie. We'll do this. We'll do that. Because see, these mindsets, this stuff that we've got to pull down and break is very real. It's very real in our culture. Because we're creating 13 and 14 year olds. I'm stressed. I'm this. I'm that. You know. And next thing you know, we have a whole generation of people that are on medications. They put dogs on medications now. I'm sorry if that's. I'm not trying to make fun of any. But for stress. Sometimes your dog just needs to get out in the backyard and run. Amen. They just need to run. Pastor Brad, guess what? I need to run. You as a Christian, you need to run. Not be in a place where you're locked up. That the fire, and I hear this today, that the fire would not go out. Some of you need to rekindle some fire. You know, it's like, I'm going to get there here in a second. But, you know, and I think the reason why doctor, you know, said that was because his life exemplifies a life in Christ. Has he had to deal? You know, I've been in meetings with him. I've seen the load. You guys, some of you say, I've got a load. You know what? Oh no, that the fire would never go out. You got to put some fire on some situations. You got to put some fire on some things that are going to advance you. You got to put some fire on when you're believing for a house and you begin to set a date and say, no, by this date, this is what's going to happen. If I've got to live in a tent, that's what I'll do. See, that's the thing. That when things like that begin to shift in you, it's like, no, this fire is going to burn bright. I'm not, you know, you, and I want you to catch this so I want you to catch this today because you can provoke the things of God in your life. That fire doesn't go out. Who lit that fire on the altar? Does anybody know? God. The fire the fire of the Holy Spirit and power. That's from God. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, "For there's one coming greater than I, whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to carry. He will..." John baptized with the baptism of repentance, but Jesus said, "There's one coming greater. He'll baptize you with fire." Fire. What does fire do? Fire will consume. Oh, a consuming fire. Fire will consume. The fire of God will consume those problems. The fire of God will consume the stress in your life. Amen. So let's stay here for a second, because what's it going to take in 2025 to keep the fire going? Because I believe this is a question that every one of us will have to answer, and I think even as we're all standing before the Lord one day, what did you think about Doctor's message? What did you do with what was given to you? You know what? Tonight we're just going to... I do this usually once a year, but I feel like tonight I want to show Doctor's message here tonight. I didn't know if I was going to do that, but because there are points in messages, because that message alone, what you see is you see what are you going to do with what is given to you. You know, it's like you don't get something from God and then hide it, right? You don't hide your light under a bushel. No. You don't. See, you don't do that. You don't hide what God's given you. The gift that God's given you, don't hide it. You don't put it away for maybe another day. No. You can live it. You can live in the gift He's given you. You can live in the fire that He's given you now. Every day you can live in it. Amen. An all-consuming fire, a fire that would never go out. That's what He's put in me, a fire that would never go out. The fire of God come on Stephen the other day. You feel it, don't you? It's an all-consuming fire, isn't it? He went from there back to there, and then he ended up into a room. The tangible fire of God's real. But see, guys, I want you to know that you can experience the fire of God in your life daily. They said Smith Wigglesworth. Most people, to compare your life with him is... They said Smith Wigglesworth, he prayed. He prayed every 30 minutes. Every 30 minutes he found himself in prayer. Praying to the Lord. But I would need to confirm this, but I don't know at all to be true, but I remember hearing somebody say at one time that he talked about being refilled 5 times a day. Refilled. Now there's the filling, right? There's the filling of the Holy Spirit. But I want those that are to understand this even this morning. Those that you that are in here that are saved, it's not over. There's a place that you can come to be refilled in the things of God. Well, He touched me back in 1972. Guess what? He can do it again in 2025. He can. Guess what? He can do it. What is the date today? Somebody help me. April 13th. Guess what? Next Sunday, April 20th. He can do it again. He can do it again because it's the source. It's all dependent upon it. Do you want it? Do you desire? Do you want to stay in this thing? Do you want it? An all-consuming fire. Elijah called fire down from heaven. Where did it come from? From heaven. The fire on the altar, where did it come from? It come from God. An all-consuming fire. You can bring this into your life. You can bring this into your life. What does a fire need? It needs an accelerant. It needs something to help it keep going. Fuel, right? In the Israelites, what did they went and got wood. They went and got wood. You ever try to keep a fire burning all night and not put any wood on it? What's going to happen? It's going to go out. It's going to go out. Guys, it's if you don't keep fire, if you don't keep wood on the fire, guess what? It goes out. It'll be completely gone. You ever have a good brush pile that you've let dry out for like, 3 months? And, and you light it and, and it's like you got this awesome fire. You're excited. And it lasts all but about 7 minutes. And you're running around to try to get that experience again. I'm not a pyro person or whatever. I don't want you to get Pastor Brad likes fire. That's like, I do like the fire of God. Amen. And I love a good campfire. But, that fire starts to go out and you're like, man, I had that fire clear up over the house. Miranda come out one time and I had a brush fire. I was proud of it in our backyard. I mean, it was gone. I mean, we had gathered brush before the weddings and I was pulling things up. Zephan was helping me. And I was like, man, this is a good one. This is a good fire. I was like, we just painted the house. Brother John had helped me. We just painted the house. I'm thinking, man, the paint's getting ready to run off the side of the house because of how high and how hot the fire is. But I was running around because I wanted to keep the fire going. You know why? It's because I wanted a hot dog. It's a true story. And not that you need a big fire to cook a hot dog. You just need a little fire. But you guys, hear me today. You've got to keep. See, that for the Israelites, that source was the wood. Guess what? The source of the holy. Let me be very clear on this, though. You need God. You need God. You absolutely 100%. You need God for the fire. Or you'll go messing around playing with strange fire. I'm not even going to talk about that today. But people will they'll you don't play around with God. You don't play around with strange fire. What I mean, strange fire. Don't do kooky weird things. God's not weird. God's not kooky. He's not. Don't do things that don't play with strange fire. Don't play with the demonic spirits. Listen, one of the things people don't realize that people don't even realize books and things like that they keep in their houses, things that slip into homes from their kids, let alone technology. I mean, people can look at any porn site they want to look at today in America. It doesn't matter what age. Your 7-year-old can do that. Your 8-year-old can do that. So never mind about technology, but people don't realize the things, the influences that people will, that will cause strange fire to exist in a person's home. Books, idols. You guys with me? Idols, things that people worship, things that people, people they make an idol. And that is a sin. So, people don't really, you've got to separate yourself from that. You've got to separate yourself from things like that. Those things, I got the power of God. Those things, day in, day out, if you're around them, they will affect you. Especially if it's not your home. If it's somebody else's home and people are living in it, that stuff will affect you. Well, I got God. You get yourself in it day in, day out, it will affect you. And that's where compromise happens. That's where compromise begins with people. They're like, I'm not going. Listen, they may be saved and make heaven, but they didn't fulfill, and this back to what doctor said, they didn't fulfill their purpose on earth. He said to that servant that didn't produce, "You wicked and lazy servant." Take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 12. "You wicked and lazy servant." I don't know if that means anything to anybody in here, but I'm telling you, that word this year got into my spirit. Something about that word just got into my spirit, and I was like, man, I don't want to be... Has anybody found themselves saying that this year? I'm not going to be lazy. Has anybody said that? I've said that multiple times. I'm not going to be lazy. Those that know to do good, do good. Praise God. Before you just hold your place in Romans real quick, because before you do that, though, I want you to understand it's going to take a source to keep the fire going. It's going to take an accelerant to keep the fire going. Oh, you're that source. You're that, you know, you put, you think about it. When we pray every morning, it's the power. We're tapping into its power. It's the power of prayer. We're tapping into the things of God. It's the source. He's using people. He's using people. If we got on the 6 a.m. prayer call in the morning and nobody said anything, what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing. If we just, something will happen. Something will happen when we put pressure, when we put an accelerator. Something will happen when we keep the fire going, keep the fire burning. Keep it going. Keep it going. Hear that today. If there's one thing you hear, keep that fire. Keep that fire going. You know, and I love this because Paul told Timothy, and it's, you know, and I love the book of Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, and this was out of the Amplified. I love this. It says, Paul told Timothy, he said, "This is why I remind you to fan into flame the gracious gift of God." Fan the flame. I mean, it's in different translations, but the Amplified says, "Fan into flame the gracious gift of God, the inner fire." Ooh. The inner fire. There's a fire. There's a fire burning on the inner. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It lives in you. Oh, my. It lives in you. It lives, the very fire. The very power that raised him from the dead, it lives in you. Guys, it's not a fire. It's not a fire that you just like, well, you know, I have it today and I have it tomorrow. No, you can live in the fire. You can live in the fire. This is why I remind you, fan the flame, the gracious gift of God, the inner fire, the special endowment, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, whom those of the elders at your ordination. Fan the flame, Timothy. You ever keep a fire going by? I mean, now it's different, right? We can get the shop back out. We can get a leaf blower. You ever? I mean, from a distance, right? You want to get those coals going? You know, I don't need to go down and blow on it, right? You ever blow on a fire? You ever be camping in the woods in your middle of nowhere? Pastor Moran and I, we used to hike deep into the woods. We'd go 6-7 miles. Wet, you know, it's hard to catch wet wood on fire. It's hard to catch wet wood on fire. But that's the thing. That's what sometimes people bring. They bring wet wood. And they just give up. But you know, we've been back country in the Cranberry Wilderness, 6-7 miles, building a fire. We don't have a leaf blower. Miranda, she's good at making a fire. I'd get it going. Guess what though? She would be the one that always keeping it going because we always wanted a pot of coffee on. She'd be down there. I'd be out gathering the sticks, right? But you got to fan, you know, Timothy, fan that flame. Church, fan that flame. Fan that flame. That flame, that which is on the inside. Fan that flame. Oh, church, come on. We're going to fan that flame. We're going to double in 2025. Guess what? We're going to fan that flame. We're going to double teams. We're going to double the congregation, believing the Lord to plant churches. We got to fan that flame. It's not just the pastors that got to fan that flame. We as the congregation got to fan that flame. We've got to be willing to say, you know, no, whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, Lord. Fan that flame. I believe this is why Paul was saying, I remind you, Timothy. Church, this is why I'm saying, I'm reminding you today, fan that flame. Fan that flame that's on the inside of you. I don't feel like it. Get out of your feelings and get focused on God. Get out of, well, you know, I feel this way or I feel that. Get out of your feelings and focus on God. God will help you with your feelings. He will. God helps me with my feelings. When I'm feeling a little whatever, you know, I got to check my feelings with the fire of God. You know, a lot of times what happens is my feelings get consumed by the fire. Get your head out of the clouds and fix what you need to fix. I am an all-consuming fire. So you begin to check those things to God. You know, does this really matter? Is this such a big deal? I'm talking about me personally. You guys are like, where are you at? I'm having a personal conversation with myself right now. But, you know, that's the thing. This is a generation of excuses. It's like what I said earlier about being bored. Don't have anything to do. Excuse after excuse after excuse. People will make excuses. And people say, well, I love God. You don't show that you love God. You leave a lot on the table. You don't show people that you love God. Come on now. We got to stir up. Fan that flame. Fan that flame. Praise God. You know, and I love this because, you know, I love this because if we'll stay tapped in to the Lord, we'll stay tapped into the things of the Holy Spirit. It's a fire that will never go out. It's a fire that will never go out. Some of you, I'll be very, very honest, please, and I don't mean it to be, you need a rekindling. You need a refiring. You know, stuff happens, and you know, it's like, stuff happens, and it's like, you know, the focus just shifts. Man, you need a refiring of the things of God in your life. You need, I believe what we're going to see happen is a real homecoming. I believe that there are a lot of Christians, a lot of people that have been away from the things of God, that they're going to, calling them home, praying for people. This church is a praying church. You pray for your family members. You believe that God's going to intervene. How often do you pray? When do you ever give up on them? Never. That's the fire of God. It's the fire that will sustain you to stay in it. You guys with me this morning? You know, I think Paul, and I say this, and I had you go to Romans 12. Did you guys go there? Yes. You know, I think Paul, because I think even from Leviticus 9, as you see this, I think Paul even in Romans 12, 1, you'll see, you know, what Paul says. Because, you know, that burnt offering that was brought before the Lord. There were five offerings in the Old Testament there. But the burnt offering, you know, I believe Paul had revelation of this in the New Testament. Because, you know, that burnt offering was an offering of devotion. It was sacrificial. It was an offering of devotion. And you know, Paul says in Romans 12:1, he says, I'm reading this out of the Amplified Classic. He says, I appeal to you, brethren, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice. Watch this, and it says holy, devoted, consecrated, because that's why, I don't know, I might preach on this tonight. I want to do doctor's message, maybe I'll hold it. I'll pray and the Lord will direct it this morning. But I think that's something that you need to see. How do you stay in the fire of God? What are some ways that you stay in the fire of God? And I feel like it's so important that we understand this. You have to. There's a place that you get into where you have to consecrate yourself. You present. And Paul was saying this in Romans chapter 12. I present my body as a living sacrifice. People don't understand consecration. People don't. You know this. You know what people even understand about fasting now in our generation. We do it because we go to the gym. I seen some program on Facebook that says intermittent fasting is good for you. Can I tell you that this fasting was something Jesus did some 2,000 years ago? When you fast, when you pray. So you know, and then the world catches a hold of it and says, well, this is good for your body. Well, yeah. Jesus wasn't fasting just because it was good for his body. He was tapping into the source, the fire of God. Can I tell you that you can tap into the source in the fire of God? But it will come at levels, and it will come at times when you're willing to consecrate yourself, where you're willing to say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I'm laying. I present myself to you today, Lord. Here I am, laying it down. Fill me. Fill me. Fill me. Fill me." See, this is the thing, because sometimes we get filled one time. You know, I'm not trying to emphasize that so much, because, you know, I'll ask people many times that I meet that, you know, that they're saved. They go, "I go to a Pentecostal church. Do you pray in tongues?" "Well, I used to." You're going to have a hard time keeping the fire going in your life if you used to. Can I be very honest, to be very real with you? Because you got to stay in this thing and keep things stirred up. I believe in May things. I believe the doubling will happen very quickly, but it'll only happen as we keep ourselves stirred up, keep ourselves in faith. Don't get discouraged. Don't get put off by worldly things, but that you would stay in the fire. You keep adding the wood. You keep adding the wood. You keep adding the wood. You keep adding those things to the fire to keep the fire going. What are you doing? What are you saying, Pastor? Oh, no, you consecrate yourself. Can I tell you, you go to an altar and you pray and you say, "Father, you know, help me. Forgive me, Father, for the things that I've not done that you've asked me to do, things that you've called me to." You repent. You consecrate yourself. You get real with God. I know I've said this before, but, you know, a church that will take time and get real with God. Repentance begins in the house of God. You know, if we're not willing to move into that realm of saying that my body, that my mind, that it would be consecrated before the Lord. That's what's going to keep the fire, a consecrated life. And I love that. You know, in Romans 12:11, in the NLT, I think this is the thing about a consecrated life. And I love Romans chapter 12, but in verse 11, it says, "Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically." And serve Him with an excitement. Yeah, I'm a Christian. People don't even know that you're saved. I'm not talking about you guys. Right? You know that, right? I love you. I'm not talking about anybody in here today. You know, I've shared this before. I walked by two different times. I walked by people that the Lord told me to pray for that were blind. And I chased one. I walked out of Helene Hall. And I walked out of Helene Hall, and as I was getting ready to walk out, the Lord said, "There'll be a person that's blind. You need to pray for them." Of course, naturally, I assumed that I'm going to pray for them to get their eyesight back, right? All I heard was, "You're going to pray for them." Of course, that's what I truly believe that. And I'm not exaggerating. I walked to my car and I turned back. And here was a family walking down the road, a guy with a cane. Couldn't see. They're walking right in the middle of the road. It's hard not to miss them. And so they're walking right in the middle of the road. And my mouth just dropped open. Huh. Go outside and pray for a person that's blind. And there was a whole family together, and it wasn't like, I didn't walk up to them at that point or anything like that. And something happened. Somebody was moving stuff around in the hall. We were getting sound equipment set up, and 10 minutes before church. And I walked in, and then I was like, "I gotta go pray for that person." And I walked out, and the van had left. Man, I tell you, You think about those moments, right, where, you know, none of us have missed it, right? So, but there was that moment where I knew that I had missed it, right? I missed an opportunity to do something that God had wanted me to do. That's why this message that Doctor preached this year is such a powerful word. You know, production, why it's powerful, this vision, this 12:120, why it all fits together. You know, I share that story. It's really a story of embarrassment. First time, it was just, I didn't understand it. Second time, I understood, but I was too late. You guys, you hearing this? I wasn't keeping the. So you got the wood, right? You got to keep the wood on the fire. I was too late. It's not that the fire went out. It's just I missed that opportunity. See, people miss opportunities when the fire's burning because they get distracted. For whatever moment in time it was a distraction. It pulled me away from what God purposed in me to do that at that moment. Distractions will do that. Excuses will do that, right? These are things that we all know. You know, the third time that happened, you know, there was about four of us, and most, you know, I think it was Evangelist Killa and my son Zane Pono, maybe another, I don't know. We went to pray for an auntie. Couldn't see. All she could see was blur. And we watched cataracts come out of her eyes. And I've shared this testimony. But I'm telling you, when you see the fire of God and when you see miracles and you see God, I mean, a lady that couldn't see. We prayed for like 27 seconds. It wasn't a long prayer. We weren't, you know, Father, thank you. We pray, we command healing into her body. Lord, that she would see. I'll never forget. I said, how's your eyes? She said, I can see you. I can see your face. I couldn't see your face before that. I couldn't, let me look at you, boy. She grabbed Pono by the face. Let me look at you, boy. Pigeon, I can't, you know, Zephon could say it the right way, but Minister Lee, how could do. Let me look at you, boy. You know, that's Jamaican. I don't know where I'm going. But I can see your face. And I think, guys, listen, I'm telling you this today because I think sometimes you forget. You forget. Can I remind you of what God's done in your life? Can I tell you today? I can look through this church and see where God's touched. There's a few new people, praise God. I have seen where God has moved and done something miraculous in people's lives. Where the fire of God. May we be reminded. May we never forsake, you know, what God wants to do in that fire, keeping it, fanning that flame, keeping it going in our lives. And I love this, Romans 12:11. And I attach this. It's so powerful. It says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. It's my devotion and my reasonable service before the Lord. How often do you remain consecrated, Pastor? Man, I gotta remain consecrated every day. You know, I've gotta be before the Lord. I got mad last week, somebody driving. I mean, you know, you ever get mad? People driving? Brian and I, we got passed a couple weeks ago on a double line, on a hill up, and we're both like, okay, the redneck kicked in a little bit for both him and I. I'm telling on you, Brian. It was probably me more than him, though. And he's like, yeah, you're right. And we literally get into Whitehall, and the kid's got his finger out the window flipping us off. We're like, we didn't do anything wrong, but I'm telling you, if this would have been maybe even 3 years ago, I don't know. Consecrate yourself. You know, I know what it would have been 30. I know what it would have been 30 years ago. I know what it would have been like. Aren't you thankful that you've given some things to the Lord? That anger, that pride, that stuff that's from the enemy. That stuff that you're like just wanting to put that in you, stir things up. Because you know, I guarantee you that if we would have went and confronted those kids, we'd have had three more confrontations before we'd ever made it home that night. Because that's what happens. You stir up the wrong things in your life. Well, you think you're angry now. Watch what I'm going to do with this guy. Double fingers out the window. Praise God. Huh? I got to be good. But your passion. Where's your passion? Where's your passion? Are you zealous for the Lord? Are you zealous for the fire? Where's your passion? Are you zealous for the things of God? Are you just playing patty cake? I don't want to play patty cake with God. I don't want to just, if he wants to do it. Man, that's a poor definition of Christianity. God does want to do it. He wants to breathe upon the church. He wants to bring revival to families and to homes. That's what he wants to do. He wants you to be fruitful and multiply. He wants to give you a good job. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. Blessed in the city, blessed in the... He wants that for you. He wants your business to blow up. Not in a good way, right? Blow up financially. Blow up in a way that you'll start 5 other businesses and hire 30 people. That's what God wants. Some of you, I'm telling you, take a risk. You're not going to have if you don't take a risk. Quit waiting. Take a risk. Believe the fire. I that's the thing. I believe this fire that's on the inside of me. This building we're getting ready to move to. It's not even about the risk. I believe in faith. God's going to fill that building. Everything that I say, Lord, we need a parking lot. We need a bigger building. And Father, I would like to have a youth building for kids. I mean, and I've driven by this building multiple times. It's like, and then one day, boom. You see, when you stay in the fire, when you stay in the fire, God will bring opportunities. He'll bring opportunities. When you stay in the fire, you've got to, that's the thing. You've got to stay in it. Man, I'm going to tell you guys, this is the honest truth. This is something for me. In November of 23, when I got touched by Bishop Dagg, Pastor Dagg, Daddy Dagg, when I got touched by him in November, something shot through me that I've never felt before. He's going through the whole crowd of people and he's asking people, so what do you do? He said, I'm an evangelist. Where do you evangelize at? You're a pastor. How big is your church? And I'm over here, you know, because he's got a pretty large church in Ghana. You know, he's got a pretty large footprint worldwide. I'm like, I don't know, we're like 27 rows in the back. That's where I'm at. We're back there. He's just walking through the crowd. He gets to me. He says, he's got a bottle of oil. I don't know if anybody's been in his meetings. He's got a bottle of oil. It's not like, you know, I'm pretty careless with the oil, you know, because I got many of my clothes are stained because of oil. But he's got a bottle or something, I don't know. He spins around, he grabs me by the hand, he says, what do you do? I'm a pastor. How big is your church? I said, 100, 100 and a quarter, 150 we minister to. You believe the Lord for 800? However he says it in his... I said, yes, sir, I do. You believe for 1,000? I said, yes, sir, I do. And when that oil hit my head, something in me, I, Miranda, thank you for the picture. You guys don't even know what that meant to me when Melanie shot that picture at Revival Today and sent it to me, because something in me changed. And there was a fire. There was something that there are moments, right? Guys, please, this is what I'm saying. There are moments where you know there are markings. There are things that happen in your life. And see, that's never, in those moments for you, you don't have to leave those moments. But it's like, you know, you've got to rekindle. You've got to refire. You've got to rekindle. You've got to refire those, it's so that you can experience him. You guys, you can experience Jesus every day. We don't just meet him. We don't just put wood on the fire on a Sunday or a Wednesday or in a life group. We don't just put the wood on the fire then. We keep it stirred up. You know, I tell you this and give you this testimony. It's like me saying I got to go to Parkersburg and preach. I know I do. And then the Lord told me last night to go to another area. I know these are assignments that the Lord's saying to me. I know that. I know that there's things, you know, even the thing with like Parkersburg, I don't even know that 3 people would show up. Maybe Donnie, I know you guys would be there if you live there. But I'll go in faith. I'll go rent a building. I'll go pay my own money to rent a building. I'm not, you know, because the Lord told me to go. That you guys understand, there's the things that God will ask you to do. Stay in the fire. Stay in the fire. Stay in the fire. You know, I don't have time to talk about, and I want to get into this because the consecrating, you know, Peter is a prime example. Oh my. You know, David said this in Psalms. David said in Psalms 27, before I get to Peter, and I'm gonna move to close. Minister, if you would. Psalms 27. David said, the one thing. See, this is consecration. The one thing, Psalms 27, verse 4, it says, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. For He will conceal me, that when troubles come, he will hide me in His sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above the enemies who surround me. At His sanctuary, I offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. There it is, verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. One thing I ask of the Lord, the thing that I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Live there. Reside there. Live there. Reside there. Live there. Reside there. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet this morning.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.